Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Gopi Jana Balava Girirvana Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvacharya Asta Sada Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Shikahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarigor Bhaktabrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopina Shaimakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadweep Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Samaveda Bhaktabrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter titled The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, chapter 19. Text 16. Can someone lead the Sanskrit?
Nakam patta manak papi Sarjahata ivadvipa
Sarjahata ihadvipa
Tinetam ahata chatta
Tetaham ataha shasha
Bhagavan adisukara
Bhagavan adisukara
Nakam patta manak papi
Happy
Sarvahata ivadvipa
Sarvahata ivadvipa
Tinetam ahata chatta Bhagavan adisukara Nakam patta manak vapi
Nakam patta manak vapi
Sarjahata iva dvipa
Sarjahata iva dvipa Tenaham mata vaishatar Bhagavan adisukara Nakapata Nakapi Sraja hata iva dvipata. Te tam hata kachatar. Bhagavan adi sukaraha. Na pakta narata kapi. Na kapata yata yata. Tena hamata sasyata. Nukaraha. Happy. Sraja hata iva jubaha. Tena. By Hiranyaksha. Itam. Thus. Ahata, struck. Shata, Ovidura. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adi Sukara, the first boar. Naakapata, did not feel quaking. Manak, even slightly. Kavapi, anywhere. Saraja, by a garland of flowers. Hata, struck. Eva, as. Dvipapa, an elephant. Translation. Hit in this manner by the demon, Ovidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. So, I'll repeat and you repeat. Hit in this manner by the demon, Ovidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. As previously explained, the demon was originally a servitor of the Lord in Vaikuntha, but somehow or other he fell as a demon. His fight with the Supreme Lord was meant for his liberation. The Lord enjoyed the striking on his transcendental body, just like a fully grown-up father fighting with his child. Sometimes the father takes pleasure in having a mock fight with his small child. And similarly, the Lord felt Hiranyaksha striking on his body to be like flowers offered for worship. In other words, the Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. Therefore, he enjoyed the attack. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukham karochi vachalam pangang lang hayate grim yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarna paramananda madhavam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarigor Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vanshikalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The translation again. Hit in this manner by the demon, Ovidura, the Lord who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. So This is a really wonderful pastime about the Lord Bor. And at the end of it, this is right now, we're like right in the middle of his fight. At the very end of it, is it Maitreya or Vidura? Whoever's narrating it says that whoever hears this story with a devotional mood will surely please the Lord. And it says, when you please the Lord, everything is possible. Well, Krishna will fulfill all your desires if you just please the Lord. So I just wanted to speak just a little bit about, I said this verse, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangang Lang Haite Grim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam. Srila Prabhupada quotes it many times. It's in the Veda base. It means that if you have the mercy of the Guru, a blind man can see stars in the sky, a mute man can speak eloquently, a lame man can cross over mountains. All of this is possible by the mercy of the Guru. And I was just reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, it was Madhya Lila, chapter 17, verse 80, and this same verse is quoted, except the ending is a little different. And this is Balabhadra, Bhattacharya, who was traveling with Lord Chaitanya through the Jarikanda forest. And he was like Lord Chaitanya's servant, and he was gathering vegetables in the forest and roots and cooking it. And Lord Chaitanya was praising him that how well he was taking care of him. And then Balabhadracharya, he quoted this verse, but it's a little different. The last line says, Paramananda Madhavan, where he was saying that, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and he's, by his mercy, he's able to perform all these activities. So I was thinking, it's so important that, we're getting all this knowledge from Krishna down through the parampara, disciplic succession, through Srila Prabhupada. It's been handed to us. It was handed to Srila Prabhupada, and he was so careful, that he named the Bhagavad Gita as it is, because he wanted to present it just as he had received it. And we should also be like that. We should present just what we received, not change anything. It's Krishna's knowledge. It's Krishna's glorification. So we should try to be just like that. Just be like a transparent via media. And it's a two-way street. So, whatever we're getting, we give. We don't change it. It's Krishna's message. And if we get any recognition, or if we get any honor, that also goes back to Krishna. So it's the mercy flowing down, and we give our our thanks and support going back. So whatever we get, whether it's honor, money, any ability, we should all be offering these things in Krishna's service. Because it's all by the mercy of Krishna, it's all by the mercy of Guru that we can do anything. Of course, so many verses in Bhagavad Gita, I'm thinking of 15:15, where Krishna states that I'm situated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. By all the Vedas, I'm to be known. Indeed, I'm the compiler of the Vedanta. So it's by his mercy. So sometimes, I'm thinking, I have to give class, but if I don't get the mercy of Krishna, if Krishna doesn't empower me, I'll just sit up here, drool and babble or whatever, I'd be a fool. But if Krishna can empower me, and if I can actually, have that motive of just trying to represent what Krishna has given us, what I've gotten from Srila Prabhupada, then I'll be able to speak something, you know, on his behalf. And this is what my service is. This is what I'm trying to do. So this is just such a wonderful pastime. You know, the Lord boar is... It's amazing that he took the form of a boar. Of course, we all know the story that the earth had fallen, you know, in the Garbhodak Ocean, actually, and went down to the bottom, and it was in, like, the mud. Prabhupada translated it as the mire. It was in the mire. And Swayambhuva Manu came to Brahma and said, you know, we need help. The earth is down in the mire in the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. You know, we need help. And so Brahma was thinking, wow, you know, what can I do to help? And it said that, you know, because he's always chanting the Vedas, he breathed in the Vedas, and out through his nose came Lord Varaha. And it's interesting because he was a boar, and at first he appeared just about as big as a thumb, but then he started, you know, like expanding himself in the sky. But he took the form of the boar because he had to go into like a dirty place to get out the earth. And also the nose is usually considered a dirty place. You know, you teach your children, don't pick your nose, and, you know, it's considered, you know, contaminated. So Lord Boar, though, came out from the nose of Lord Brahma, and he performed the activities of a boar perfectly. And we should never think that he's like an ordinary boar or a pig. You know, a boar, they consider the, you know, the village pigs are, you know, they like to eat stool, you know, they're in a dirty place. But it said that when Varaha, when he shook his fur in the water sprinkled onto the demigods, they felt purified. So it wasn't at all like an ordinary boar. It was said it was just as purifying as the Ganges. Of course, the Ganges is purifying because it comes from the toes of Lord Vishnu and it flows down through the earth. So also, when the boar shook his fur and the water went out, it was very purifying for everyone. So it's described with his nose, because boars or pigs, they have a very acute sense of smell. And the Lord Boar dove down into the Garbhodak Ocean, and he searched out the earth by sniffing with his nose. And when he picked it up, he put it on his tusk, and he was coming out. But when he was doing this service, he got insulted by Hiranyaksha, because Hiranyaksha was just looking for a fight, and he went to Varuna, and he asked Varuna to battle, and he insulted Varuna. This is the Kshatriya way. If they want to fight somebody, they insult them, and they try to make him mad so they can get in a fight. But it said Varuna controlled his anger and told him, you're looking for a fight, but a suitable combatant for you will be Vishnu, and he's just appeared as the boar, so you should search him out and fight with him. So Hiranyaksha was actually looking for Varaha, and when he saw him, he started to insult him. And it said that Lord Varaha was pained by these insulting words. And Prabhupada in the purport explains that it's very difficult for Mayavadis to understand that the Lord feels pain. But he does feel pain, just like he also feels pleasure. When he appeared, the demigods were offering all the Vedic prayers to him, and he felt pleased. So he's a person. He feels pleasure. He also feels pain. So, and every living entity is also like that. We also feel pleasure. We also feel pain. If we criticize someone, they feel pain. If we praise them, they'll feel pleasure. So we should be careful in our dealings that, you know, we're personalists, that not only does Krishna, Lord Varahadev, he felt pain when he was insulted, but he felt happiness when he was praised. So we have to be careful in our dealings with others that we don't cause pain. Actually, it said we shouldn't cause pain to any living entity. At the same time, we'll see that Lord Varaha wanted to fight also. So that was like one of his reasons. But when he was insulted, it's important to understand that he had a service. He was saving the earth. So he didn't respond right away because he wanted to perform his service of saving the earth first. And then after that was done, then he gave his attention to Hiranyaksha, and they got into an argument of sorts, and then they started fighting. And it's an amazing fight that they have, where one time Hiranyaksha knocked the club out of Lord Boar's hand, and it was, you know, brilliantly shining, and it fell down. And even though Lord Varaha was there without his weapon, according to the law, the Kshatriya rules, Hiranyaksha didn't attack him at that time, because they're only supposed to be equal combatants. And Lord Varaha said he appreciated that he was following the rules of Kshatriya code. And that's one of the qualities of Krishna, is that even if an enemy or even if a demon does something good, he'll praise him. And even if one of his family members does something wrong, he'll correct them, because Krishna is completely impartial. So Lord Varaha appreciated this chivalry of Hiranyaksha, and they started fighting again. But this time, Hiranyaksha, he threw like the trident at the Lord, and the Lord caught it, and he offered it back to Hiranyaksha. But Hiranyaksha he didn't accept it. He just became more angry. But the Lord was also following these rules. And this is kind of where we're getting up to, is right in the middle of the fight, that Hiranyaksha became so angry that he just went up and hit the Lord in the chest and disappeared. And it's saying that, you know, it was like an elephant having a flower garland on him. He didn't quake at all, but it says in the purport that he enjoyed it. So Krishna sometimes wants to fight. I mean, he fights with his cowherd boys, you know, play. But when he really wants to fight, he selects one of his devotees to come to the material world and act as a demon. So there are different kinds of demons. Some are demons that are descended just for Krishna's pastimes, or just for, like, Varaha, his pastimes, where he wanted to fight. He wanted a good fight. And right now, he's enjoying that fight. There's other examples, like on the Battle of Kurukshetra, when he was fighting with Bhishma. Even Bhishma was shooting arrows, and they were piercing the Lord. He said he felt that as bliss. He actually described it. It felt like love bites from his lover. So he was enjoying this. He has this chivalrous mood of a good fight. And devotee can help serve the Lord in that way. So these two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, they were great devotees of the Lord who, somehow or other, it says, well, we know the story, how they were cursed by the four Kumaras. But it was actually Krishna's will that they come to the material world so that he could have these pastimes of fighting. So they weren't ordinary. There are ordinary demons, and sometimes it's described, you know, like Mayavadis are demons, and there's all these little demons, you know, in the material world. But these were great devotees, intimate servants of Lord Vishnu. And people, living entities, I'm thinking of the pastime where Krishna enters, he enters Mathura and he's entering into the wrestling arena, and everyone is appreciating Krishna differently. So according to our desire, according to our motive, we appreciate Krishna. Everyone has a unique relationship with Krishna. That's stated in the 10th canto, in the purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti. So we all have an individual, unique relationship with Krishna. And according to our desire, we'll appreciate Krishna differently. Just like when Krishna came into the wrestling arena, all the ladies who went up on the roof or were in the wrestling arena, they saw Krishna as Cupid personified, as the most beautiful boy. And the wrestlers were seeing Krishna as like death personified or very strong. And Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda were seeing Krishna as just our little son. And all the coward boys were thinking, oh, you know, he's one of us. He's one of the coward boys from Vrindavan. He's there. So we appreciate Krishna according to our desire, according to our motive. Krishna knows our motive. He's in our heart. We can't cheat Krishna. So it's very important to us that we are sincere, because we'll never cheat Krishna and we want to please him. So talking also about boars and how Krishna, this is a transcendental boar. There was a pastime where one time King Indra was cursed to take birth as a pig on the material world. And so he came down to this earth planet and material world, and he was a pig, and he had his wife pig and his little piglets, and he was enjoying a pig's life. But up in Indra, up in heaven, they were missing him, because he was the ruler of heaven, King Indra. So Lord Brahma came down to ask him to come back. You've served your time. So come back to the heavenly planet and assume your service of being the king of heaven. So when Lord Brahma came to Indra, who was in the form of a pig, and said, come back to heaven, Lord Indra said no. He said, I'm happy here. I have my wife pig. I have my little piglets. I can eat all the stool I want. I'm happy. And it's very instructive that what in the material world, there's a deluding force of Maya that makes the living entity feel satisfied with what they have, even though they may be suffering. And so Brahma couldn't convince Lord Indra to come back to heaven. But then the farmer came and took the piglets away and was going to, slaughter them, and his wife, and was going to slaughter him for food also. Then Indra realized, the material world is not such a nice place. And then he decided to go back to heaven. But it's a very instructive pastime about how everything here is temporary. It's miserable, actually. It's a place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. And the more that you think you're enjoying something, the more you're going to suffer when it gets taken away. So we can become purified of these material desires by hearing these stories of, like Krishna as Varaha in the Bhagavatam. These stories purify the heart so that we can lose our material attachments. So This earth is very special because it was lifted by Lord Varaha and put back in its orbit. So it's special in that way. It's also special that Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago walked on this earth planet, and you can still go to India and see his footprints in some places that have, like, were melted into stone. Lord Chaitanya, he also walked on this earth, you know, all over India. And Srila Prabhupada walked all over, you know, America preaching. So it's a very wonderful opportunity that we have, that we've taken our birth on this blessed earth that's been blessed by Krishna, Varaha, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas. And we have this opportunity to do some service, to be in this line of disciplic succession and be part of Lord Chaitanya's movement, which is a preaching movement, which is trying to reclaim the fallen souls to go back home, back to Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada, he also said that he'd like to fight sometimes, like when he was trying to get the Juhu Temple in Bombay. There was this one, Mr. Nair, he was trying to cheat him out of the land, and the devotees there had to put up a fight in the courts and things. And Giriraj Maharaj has wrote a whole book about it, about how they had this fight to establish the Juhu Temple in Bombay. And of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield. And we also have our fight. And our fight is against our demoniac nature. We have a struggle with ourselves. When Srila Prabhupada would initiate somebody, there was, you know, four don'ts and one do. So it's a fight. The four regulative principles we have to. The tendency is there to you know, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. So we have to fight against our lower nature and refrain from these things. And of course, the do when we become initiated is that we promise that we'll chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense. So this is our great fight, that we are conditioned souls, I'm speaking of myself, and have to become purified. Somehow or other, we have to get the grace and the mercy of the previous acharyas and become purified. That's our fight. So there's a few other things, but I think I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yeah, down here.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu, for your class. Hare Krishna. You know, Prabhupada uses the analogy of, you know, in this material world, happiness is like when they dunk you under the water, that's unhappiness. And then when you pull you up to get a breath of fresh air, that's happiness. So that's how he explains happiness and distress in this material world. Right. But also the comment that, you know, as I'm getting older, we realize there's a lot of suffering with the body. And fortunately, through Krishna consciousness, by the instructions Prabhupada has given us, we can turn that into a positive, because when we see the suffering, we come to depend on Krishna and realize our infallibility, you know, or how we're actually, you know, destined to die. And I find that as an impetus to increase my Krishna consciousness by the suffering that I go through, because in those periods of time, I find that I make the most advancement, because it's when we learn to surrender unto Krishna and depend on him strictly and exclusively. Right. I realize whatever happiness we have is from his mercy, but the suffering is actually an impetus to actually surrender and become, you know, lovers of Krishna.
Jaya, thank you. Exactly. Yeah, there's another example about the happiness of the material world. It's really just a mitigation of misery. I heard the example, it was from Satsrup Maharaj, is that like if somebody's punching you in the head and you put your arms up, you know, you think, oh, now I'm happy, but you know, they're still punching your arms. So it's not real happiness. It's like if it's, you know, we're suffering because of the cold, okay, so we have a house. We think, oh, we're happy because of the house. Or if it's too hot, we get air conditioned and we're happy. But it's just, you know, kind of blocking the punches a little bit. And death is there for everybody. So no matter what, you know, attachments you have that are connected to the body, it's all going to be taken away at the time of death. So somebody else had a comment or question? Oh, okay.
I will, Prabhu, thank you. I remember some time ago I was distributing books, and the one man, he saw this picture of Lord Boar fighting with Hiranyaksha, mm-hmm. and he asked, how come that he has the hoofs?
Yeah,
and how he going to hold the mace and this, and I was thinking, I was trying to explain to him, but I don't remember how I can convince him. And what would you answer? What would be your answer?
Yeah, they actually can, you know, they can spread and they can grip things. And of course, he's transcendental. I mean, he can do anything with any part of his body. It's not hard for him to hold a mace. But the interesting thing about this fight, and you know, spoiler alert, it's kind of coming up to the end of the chapter, that even though this fight was so intense with their weapons and stuff, when Varaha finally killed him, it says he kind of like nonchalantly slapped him in the face with his hoof, and that killed him. So he can do what, and it's in the Brahma Samhita prayers, any one of his limbs can do the functions of any of the other limbs. You know, he can eat with his eyes, and you know, he can have his weapon, his hoof, and kill somebody. So he's unlimited. It's easy for him to hold. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, so I can't give the exact description. But he did hold it, and he was using it.
Yeah. Another question, kind of the same category. You know, but in Vaikuntha we have a Lord Boar's planet, right? It's supposed mm-hmm. to be. Does that mean that his consort also board-like, and the followers also board-like, like Sarupya Mukti with the with the Lord Boar?
I don't know, because it Bhumi was his wife. So actually, you know, the personification of the earth, it was considered his wife also, and he was like rescuing his wife when he rescued the earth planet. So other than that, I don't know.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
So to comment on that, there's Balaji temple in Pune, ISKCON, and there's Bhudevi, deity of Bhudevi, and she's very beautiful like Lakshmi Devi. I just wanted to add that to you.
Jai, you got a question back here?
So you mentioned that when Lord Indra was in the pig body enjoying with his family, that he didn't listen to Lord Brahma. I mean, it didn't like faze him much that Lord Brahma is telling him these things. But yet he hears it from his wife, and it kind of like, yeah, maybe I need to look at this. And, you know, like in the early days, we would literally point out things too, like, you're in Maya, you know, you're puffed up, you know, these things. And I remember in my own particular situation, you would know them, Mandara, you know, she would say, you know, you're so puffed up, and I'd be like, oh, well, like, I'm just surrendering, like, I'm just a yes person, you know, or whatever, you know. But then I heard that Lajavati said something similar, and then it really struck me, like, I need to look at this, right? So I don't know that we I don't know that we're that friendly these days that we can tell each other that, hey, you know, this is how, it's my tiny perception, but this is how it's impacting me. You know, it seems like we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, it's...
But the thing is that...
There's etiquette also.
Yeah, of course. But it's. But I think, again, it's a matter of who we hear it from, because like I said, I could
exactly.
hear it from one much, and I was like, But I actually saw her as a peer, as equal, whereas Lajavati I saw as a senior. So in that sense, it made a different impact on me, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, of course, just in Vaishnav, etiquette is... you shouldn't really instruct somebody unless they want, you know, instruction. Unless they're dependent. You know, they're dependent on you, or you know, you're their father or their spiritual master or something like that. Because it's just not good etiquette. So if somebody is receptive, you know, to chastisement or instructions, then you know it can have some good effect. And it's definitely, you know, we should think on our part, if we're trying to instruct somebody, is it coming from compassion, you know, or is it just anger, or is it just you know, wanting to be right or something? And that's why when Srila Prabhupada would instruct somebody, you know, it would have remarkable effects, because he would do it with such, you know, love and compassion, where if somebody else would say the exact same words, you know, people become offended. So yeah, it's the love and compassion behind it, you know, has a big impact on what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely the modes, passion and goodness, you know, and ignorance are there sometimes when we may instruct someone in the mode of passion, and so we get a passionate response back.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
but that's the job of the spiritual master, actually, is to point out the fault, if there's any faults in the disciples, to point them out so they can correct them. I know Vaisheshika says, it's a really nice saying. He says, I live to be corrected. So, you know, if you're doing something wrong and you don't know it's wrong, you're happy when somebody corrects you, because, you know, you want to, you know, be a good devotee and improve. So we should be also, you know, have that mentality that, yeah, if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know, you know, I want to correct myself, I want to advance, you know, and please Srila Prabhupada and, you know, please my spiritual master and Krishna. Because like it says at the end of this story of Lord Varaha, if you hear about this story with a devotional mood, you'll please Krishna. And then if you please Krishna, you know, you can attain anything, because he'll fulfill your desires. So that's a really good point, you know, about instructing somebody and also accepting instructions. You know, I'm thinking of two different things. When Lord Chaitanya defeated the Digvijay, you know, he was this great scholar going around conquering everybody, and he was a great poet. And he wanted to have a debate with Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya, when he met him, he recited this like 100 verses in praise of the Ganges. And then he asked Lord Chaitanya for his opinion of it. And he said, well, do you want me to tell you the faults first or the glorification first? You know, and he was like, what? There are no faults, you know. And but the Lord Chaitanya pointed it out to him. And, you know, later he could understand that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he defeated him, you know, that way. It wasn't like in front of everybody and, you know, made him, made him feel like a fool and embarrassed. But he did become humble and he did become a devotee. And there's another story of this, another kind of a Digvijaya was going around debating. That's not our, like, Srila Prabhupada would debate sometimes with the scientists and, you know, call them, you know, rascals and demons. But our knowledge is passed by submissive oral reception. You know, the person has to be submissive and it has to be, you know, transmitted that way. It's not like a confrontation, an argument that you get knowledge. And in Rupa Goswami's time, another scholar who was defeating all the other scholars, and when he would defeat him, he'd get him to sign his book, showing that, admitting that, you know, that they were defeated. So he heard that Rupa Goswami was one of the greatest scholars, and he came up to challenge Rupa Goswami, and he said, you know, I want to debate with you. And you know, Rupa Goswami said, you know, why? He said, so I want you to, you know, sign this book when you're defeated. And he, Rupa Goswami, didn't want to waste his time with him, so he just signed the book and let him go. So when Rupa Goswami's disciple, Jiva Goswami, this scholar, you know, went to debate with Jiva Goswami, and he said, just see, you know, I've defeated your guru, Rupa Goswami. See, he signed the book. And when Jiva saw that, you know, he couldn't believe it. So he defeated him, like, so badly, because Jiva Goswami is, like, one of the greatest philosophers ever. You know, he wrote so many books. But it says that in debate, he defeated the scholar so bad that the scholar practically wanted to die. And he couldn't tolerate that he was saying that he had defeated his guru. You know, he knew it wasn't true. But when Rupa Goswami heard about this, he was actually a little angry with him, saying, you know, you shouldn't have wasted your time with him. And he actually banished Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan. And he was banished, and all the other devotees were very shocked that he banished Jiva just because he engaged in this, you know, philosophical debate and defeated this person. He was, you know, trying to show that's not what we do. So he was banished for a while, but all the other devotees who really loved and missed Jiva Goswami, they finally went to Rupa Goswami, and they said that you're supposed to be, you know, merciful to all jivas, you know, speaking all living entities, but you should also be merciful to Jiva Goswami and let him come back to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami said, yeah, okay. So Jiva Goswami came back. But, you know, I was just saying these things of, you know, we're not, you know, meant to, like, defeat and humiliate people. Although, like I say, sometimes if somebody is attacking our spiritual master, we can defend them, or if they're attacking Krishna. Like, you know, the Mayavadis say that, you know, Krishna doesn't have any hands or eyes, or, you know, he's impersonal. And Prabhupada said that basically they're calling Krishna blind and, you know, dumb and deaf. So it's an insult to Krishna, and we should defend Krishna in that way. But dealing with, you know, living entities, you know, we want to show compassion and love and bring them to, you know, loving devotional service. Anybody else want to say anything about that? Or any more comments or corrections? Okay, well, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.